What is your favorite Christmas hymn or carol? This past week I found a new one. I'll be honest, it's easier for me to remember than any other Christmas carol. Good. That's what Mary's baby is. Good. I like that song just because it reminds me, it's an easy memory device to remember what Mary sang about the Savior. You see, today we're not only honoring Mary as the Virgin Mother of our Savior, we are also honoring her as an instructor in worship. As she speaks the words of the Magnificat, she helps us understand what worship is all about. That our God is good. So I'd ask you to please stand and let's read together the gospel lesson for today. Please stand. It's up on the screen, the Magnificat. And as we read this, please notice that in both halves of Mary's Magnificat, there are two significant M words. Let's join together. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Please be seated. So in this song, Mary says, good, mercy, and might. That's what makes our God, that's what makes her baby good. She acknowledges her need for mercy in this song of worship. Right near the beginning, she says, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. The word for mindful is the idea that God examines carefully his humble servant. He examines carefully Mary. Now, why do you suppose that God looked at Mary and said, she is a humble soul? Is it because she didn't have very much money in her pocket? Or was it because she was from the wrong side of Israel? She was from up north in Galilee? Do you think that God really cares how much money is in your pocket or where you come from? What God looked at and what Mary had to admit made her humble was that he examines the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so Mary has to confess that she is a humble servant, a servant that needs God's mercy, that needs a Savior. You see, that's what she says in verse 47, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She is acknowledging, I am somebody who needs a Savior because God sees my sin. I need his mercy. But she also makes a marvelous confession. Do you see that little word my in front of Savior? That's a confession of faith. She is claiming the mercy of God in that one word, my. My Savior. Now, in this song of worship, what makes Mary so certain that she can receive God's mercy? Well, do you notice in verse 49, there are two names for God. Right at the end of verse 49 is, "Holy is his name." As you read through this song by Mary, it becomes obvious that Mary was a student, not just of the Old Testament, but especially a student of the prophet prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is the prophet who used the term the Mighty One of Israel more than any other prophet. He used it 25 times, and I think it's used 30 times in total in the Old Testament. The Holy One of Israel. Holy is his name. Now, why would Isaiah call God the Holy One of Israel? And why is it significant that Mary recognizes holy is his name? He is the Holy One of Israel. But do you recall Isaiah's commissioning as a prophet? It's in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees a vision of the Lord on his throne in heaven, and the seraphs, the angels, are calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And that holiness of God is a terrifying thing for Isaiah. He says, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory." God's holiness is like a bright light that shines into the darkest, deepest parts of our lives, and it sees every word that we have spoken, every thought that we have had, every deed that we have done, and it exposes it as evil. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not holy and perfect as this holiness demands of me, and I am ruined. That certainly is part of what would lead Mary to say, "I am a humble servant of God," because his name is holy. And I don't measure up to that holiness. But holiness of God, the Holy One of Israel, is not only the one who exposes sin. God's holiness is also that characteristic of God that enables him to come up with a solution for our sin. In that vision that Isaiah sees, God has one of his angels take a coal from the altar, and it touches Isaiah's lips, and he says, "See, your sins have been atoned for." That the Holy One of Israel was planning a mighty deed to accomplish what Isaiah couldn't do, what Mary couldn't do, what you and I can't do. It's to be holy in his sight. And that mighty deed involved atoning for our sins. And so it comes as no surprise that Mary also calls him the Mighty One who has done great things for me. Again, Mighty One, that's an Isaiah term for God. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Isaiah chapter 6 is Isaiah's call. Holy, 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 the Holy One of Israel reveals my sin and promises to deal with my sin. And then Isaiah chapter 7, the very next chapter, is where God promises, "I am going to do a mighty thing. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son and call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Mary was certain of God's mercy because she feared the Lord. She recognized her sin. And she trusted that this Holy One was doing this incredibly great thing of becoming a human being, taking on a human body. That's what the prophet, the author of Hebrews, brings out. He was taking on a human body so that he could suffer and die for our sins. The Holy One has done this mighty deed that he has started in action his plan to atone for our sins through the death of his son. And so Mary, in her song, praises our God as good. He is merciful and he is mighty. This is a key part of worship. She leads us in worship by understanding that we come into God's presence so that we can receive something from him. We come into God's presence so that we can be reminded of his mercy in Christ and his might that enables us to have the certainty of forgiveness and the promise that we shall live forever. Our God is good. But then there's this second part of worship where she says, in view of that, my soul magnifies God. You know, if you are filling in the blanks on the back of the worship folder where it says, magnifies my Savior, you could write Mary magnifies, but I would encourage you to write instead me magnifies. I know it's not good grammar, but it's the You see, this is part of worship. I receive from God his mercy and might. And then me, I magnify, I celebrate God's mercy and might in prayer and praise. And it's this worship that we can do here in the sanctuary, but also in the privacy of our own home. Every time we open up God's word, we're asking, God, come to us in your mercy and might. And then we respond, as me, I magnify my Savior in prayer and praise. It's what we can do in our family devotions. We receive his mercy and might, his promises, and then we offer back our praise to him. But there is another aspect of worship that really can't be carried out all by ourselves. And this is the part of worship that Mary brings out as she teaches us about worship by just giving us this marvelous example in the Magnificat. In this first part, her worship is all about her relationship with God, receiving from him and giving honor and glory back to him. In the second part of the song, she is now concerned about others. She wants the people around her to know, God is good. He is merciful and he is mighty. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Now this is good news and bad news. It's bad news if you are proud, if you are a ruler, if you're rich. It's good news if you're humble. If you are not a ruler, you are defeated and you're hungry. Here Mary is proclaiming God's might to us who are listening to her. And she is speaking a word of warning to us that God's might can be a terrifying thing if we come to him confident that we have everything that we need. I am rich. God, you must love me. Or if we try to fill the hungry parts of our souls with comparisons that, well, somehow I am okay as I compare myself with somebody who seems to be below me. That if we come to him as a ruler, as we think, you know, I've got my life all together, I can can stop those sinful patterns on my own power. If we come to him as a ruler, look out, he is mighty, and he will scatter those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He speaks words of warning to us. But if we come and just admit that we are hungry for the peace and righteousness of God, hungry for a hope that God can change us, hungry for that assurance that God loves us unconditionally, that we are acceptable to him. She comes and she pronounces mercy upon us. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. You see, this is an important part of worship. Worship is not just our relationship with God, us receiving mercy and might from God and magnifying him. Worship is also this sideways thing. That we have Christian friends who can help us see where we need to be afraid of God's might, where they see the power of sin active in our lives and can call us to repentance and then lift us up with that promise of God's mercy in Christ. And we have a call to be that messenger of mercy and might to the people around us too. The people around us also need what we need from them. They need to hear that God is mighty and merciful. He is good in the person of Mary's baby, Jesus. That's what we do when we gather together for worship. As you sing songs, part of those songs are our worship of our God for his mercy and might. But very often, as we sing together, we are speaking into each other's hearts. We are calling each other to repentance. We are assuring each other of God's mercy. But I'll be honest, this part of worship is not best done in a large assembly like this. This part of worship, where we speak into the hearts of each other's lives, is best done in smaller groups. That's why, I'll be honest, I am so thankful that this next year, Easter is about as late as it gets. And you know what that means? It means that Ash Wednesday is about as late as it gets. That means we have a lot of weeks between Christmas and Ash Wednesday where we don't have a Wednesday Lenten service. And it's a great time to restart some small groups. See, that's what our small groups, our life groups are all about. It's us getting to know each other so that we can speak truth into each other's lives. That we can call each other to repentance. That we can assure each other of God's mercy, that we can remind each other of God's might as we join together in prayer. If you aren't in that kind of relationship with fellow Christians and in any other setting, I would encourage you to mark on the connection card, let's get into group link. Or if you're in a small group that, you know, sometimes small groups just don't click, and you want to try a different small group, that's okay. Check group link and let's see if we can't help more of us get connected in this way so that we're in positions where we can remind each other God is good. Now, in just a few minutes, the choir is going to sing Mary's Magnificat. And I'm pretty sure that they have Mary's song memorized. But for the rest of us, maybe we can't remember everything that Mary said. And so I would encourage us to just remember this short little summary. Good. Our God is merciful and mighty. We see it in the person of our Savior. Good. I want to magnify my Savior. Good. I need you to remind me of God's mercy and might. And I have the call to give that back to you. So, if you, like me, are having a hard time remembering everything that Jesus or that Mary said as she praised her God at the announcement that she would bear the mother, that she would be the mother of our Lord, if you have a hard time remembering all those words, I just encourage you to join with me in what has now become my favorite Christmas hymn. Good. Good. That's what Mary's baby is. You really are good at memorizing. Thank you. Please stand.